joining me on the phone is a good friend of the program, Amanda Vinicky. She's the governmental and political correspondent for WTTW Channel 11 in Chicago. Amanda, good morning and thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So this is the final weekend of the General Assembly. They are actually back in session tomorrow as they try to meet their May 31st scheduled adjournment deadline. And I think a lot of questions still persist about whether we're going to get a budget, whether the governor wants a budget, whether they can get out of town as fast as possible, which is, I think, something that they want to do.
You know, that is definitely the goal. Of course, a budget part and parcel of that. But, you know, the questions going into this year were really strong for, is there going to be a budget or not? And some of the thinking there was that Democrats would perhaps be inclined to not want a budget passed because that would make Governor Rauner look terrible going into an election. It would make him look, you know, like he was a feckless, that he didn't have any sort of management ability. I'd say that that has kind of been somewhat removed from the discussion. And the second question that you asked is more the one in terms of now, does Governor Rauner actually want a budget? Of course, he at every turn says yes, that he is, and he's long said that. But the kind of underlying question you hear at the Capitol more now is, well, if there is an agreement, might it be something, even if it were to pass the General Assembly, let's pretend, and we're not at that point yet, but is it something that Governor Rauner would veto, perhaps expecting that the General Assembly would override that so that he could campaign on saying, this is a budget that was out of balance, relies on the tax increase that Madigan foisted upon you Illinois residents, and I didn't have any sort of part in that. That's sort of the question. Like I said, right now, we're not there. At this point, it's a whole lot of still negotiating in Springfield, but there is sort of this air of, I've characterized it as optimism. It's definitely a different sort of feeling than the past couple of years during this historic impasse. The legislature is home right now on Saturday and Sunday, not coming back until Monday. And that's in part because you speak with the leaders who are really in on budget negotiations, and they are all keeping pretty quiet on the details because they say they don't want to ruin what they've agreed to by sharing those stats, and also that they're pretty darn close, they say.
Well, when you mentioned about the governor and, you know, whether he wants a budget or whether he wants to veto a budget because of the tax increase money still being spending, I mean, in truth, he did propose a budget in his budget message that counted on that money from the tax increase. So.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And the only part he campaigns and says, I'm going to roll it back. But the rollback of that is tiny portion relatively and further is dependent on some pension changes going through that not only haven't passed the General Assembly, but even if they did, the savings wouldn't come for a while. And even because it counts on getting through the court system, something else that is all nothing anywhere close to a guarantee. So you're right, Rick. And this is again, just the sort of talk and discussion. I think part of the question about Rauner is that there hasn't been a budget yet during his term that he has agreed to. And he has a reputation for, you know, pushing the envelope on negotiations, being wary of whatever deal is reached. I think that is in part due to a lack of trust and also his really not getting his way on a whole lot of things. So, he's most certainly a question mark, and I think that's something not just from reporters, but, you know, you talk to Republicans who question really where he is at. But some of that is while you look at whatever is in this budget deal, it appears to be something around $38 billion of general operations spending. But The underlying questions remain things that are central to Governor Bruce Rauner, it appears, and that is things, for example, like a capital infrastructure bill, including one that would pay for a new veterans home in Quincy, something that he kind of it has to do something about due to political pressure after a series of stories after Legionnaires spreading at that location and, killing residents of that facility.
Well, and we had seen earlier this month with the governor pushing specifically on Quincy and wanting $246 million for a rebuild of that veterans home. And he wanted that as a separate standalone bill, demanding the legislature pass it immediately, even though the bill wasn't sponsored or even introduced until May 16th. But at the same time, you know, we're seeing Democrats basically, in some respects, using that bill as leverage for an overall budget.
Right. And so that is kind of the game, if you will, right now. It's all about leverage. And will it be something that gets Rauner on board with whatever passes? Like I said, it's a different mood from years past where the goal is, we'd seen, you know, Democrats trying to just do their own thing. This is a budget agreement that the people who, again, are leading negotiations say they want to get bipartisan buy-in on. I think that the key things to remember at this point are the question of Rauner and where is he at. As you noted, the matter of leverage and how that will get people on board that may otherwise be reticent to be. But then the other central components are that these negotiations are a heck of a lot easier because much as the governor bemoans it, the revenue from that income tax increase makes it a lot easier to craft any sort of spending plan than in the past couple of years. Not to say that it is easy, not to say that there won't be cuts, but certainly it's a whole lot easier than it has been in the past. And then I think also that budget impasse is something that almost everybody at the Capitol is still in like shock / recovery from and doesn't want a repeat of, both because you have many legislators running for reelection and that would be difficult for them to go back to their constituents and yet again not have a budget in hand. But it's also just, you know, they want their summers, they want to see their families. They saw the devastation that it wreaked on the state and, you know,
sure,
universities.
From the impasse, the safety net crumbling, social service safety net crumbling. And I do think there's a belief, too, that, you know, if they can't get a full, complete deal, there are still those Republicans that went over and joined with Democrats a year ago to break the impasse, and that they're still out there, they're still available if it looks like we're going to get the impasse again.
They're not only out there, but in a sense, stronger than ever, because many of them aren't running for re-election. So any fears that they may had, let's say allegiances, she's sticking with the governor, what have you, those are out the window. They're nearing, you know, lame duck status and would be prone to, they'd already taken what was presumably the hardest vote in many ways of their legislative careers. So at this point, yeah, what do they have to lose in terms of that deal? And everybody knows that. You're right. They know it. So I think they're feeling empowered.
We're speaking with Amanda Vinicky, the governmental and political correspondent for WTTW Channel 11 in Chicago. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. Joining me on the phone is Amanda Vinicky, the governmental and political correspondent for WTTW Channel 11. We're talking about the approaching May 31st spring session deadline, which in practicality means that for any major legislation like a budget, if they don't get it done by midnight on Thursday, it requires an extra voting majority of 71 votes in the House, 36 votes in the Senate, and may not sound like a lot of difference there, but it can often be very difficult to come up with those numbers. Amanda, I know we've been talking about the budget, but I'm kind of curious, too, about we had the issue of the legislature approving various gun control legislation. We had the governor turn around with his own a mandatory veto of a bill, and that included reinstating the death penalty for murders involving police officers or two or more people. He expanded the bill to, the original bill was just dealing with so-called assault weapons and requiring a 72-hour waiting period for that, but he expanded that for all firearms. And it just always seemed to me that if the bill became so comprehensive in his rewrite that while there are often compromises in legislation, it would be too much for legislators to try to balance off. I mean, if you're from downstate Illinois, where Second Amendment gun rights is very important, they're not going to sign, be on board with a 72-hour waiting period for firearms. Plus, then you throw in the issue of reinstating the death penalty, and we've kind of litigated that issue here in Illinois. I'm wondering, does anything ultimately come of it?
You know, there's been more political theater on that front. You had a series of hearings. You now have a group of legislators from both parties coming out with a bill that would take and put in place the death penalty portion of Rauner's amendatory veto, also include, I believe, a death penalty sentence for anybody found guilty beyond all reasonable doubt of killing a firefighter, as well as these, quote, mass murderers and individuals who are found guilty beyond all doubt. That's part of Rauner's plan, not just reasonable doubt, but anyway, of cop killers. But that is something that I think was introduced more for political cover or what have you, a discussion. What does or doesn't pass in terms of gun legislation, we could see another run, a return of a gun dealer licensing bill, something that the governor also vetoed. That was just prior to the primary, but something that advocates are not pushing back from. They are making some changes and fine-tuning, but gun legislation, that carjacking in general, a lot of bills that are being carefully watched by people concerned particularly about the violence in the city of Chicago, are some of those that have been kind of pushed off until this week while negotiations continue. There was a rumor that that gun dealer licensing bill was going to even be called on Thursday, but you had an issue of some legislators already taken off for the Memorial Day weekend. I think that yeah, a real issue, but knowing that they would be back in Springfield this coming week for all of those truly hot button issues. But no, I don't think that there is much, or if any, expectation that the governor's amendatory veto itself will be enacted into law and that legislators will get on board with that for the reasons that you just described. I mean, there's a whole lot in there. And adding to that, it is presumed that all that he did in that amendatory veto was just so much that it went beyond what the Constitution says an amendatory veto is intended to do, and that it would be tossed out as, you know, basically illegal.
We also have the continued discussion over the Equal Rights Amendment and ratification of that as for the U.S. Constitution, which I have to say brought back a lot of memories because my first year covering the Illinois General Assembly was 1982, and much of that time was spent involving all of the demonstrations and protests that surrounded what was then the deadline, the June 30th deadline for ratification of three states. Illinois was one of them that was targeted for the Equal Rights Amendment. And everything old is new again here in Illinois.
You know, Rick, it's funny. I'm actually speaking to you from just outside of St. Louis, Missouri. I was here for a wedding. And
are you in Alton?
I'm in Lake. I'm actually in Wildwood, Missouri now. It's beautiful. I'm in the woods. Birds are chirping. I've seen a deer, horses, and it's beautiful and rustic. But my point being that at the wedding, they were serving Schlafly beer. And so I was speaking with some folks who don't follow all of Illinois politics and history about, well, actually, she's part of this Schlafly family. Phyllis Schlafly. And yeah.
Yes. So
everything old is new again, and also in beer in bottled form.
Phyllis Schlafly, of course, was the head of the Eagle Forum and was from Alton, Illinois, and they were the principal national force to stop the Equal Rights Amendment at the time. And as
some of her relatives or descendants are now part of the fight as well and testified, I believe, an ERA hearing in Springfield, still fighting against its implementation.
And it's not clear whether the votes are there to pass it out of the House. That needs 71 votes.
The Senate. Mm-hmm. Already passed the Senate. The governor doesn't need to take action on that one, but it has been interesting to sort of watch him wiggle when asked by reporters where he stands. He hasn't taken a direct stance on the amendment itself, but says that he supports equal rights for everyone. So he's trying as hard as he can to not get in that jerk box, because particularly with the Republican Party, there's a whole lot of division there, which is exactly why you see Democrats. There is an effort on the national level to do this, but that is where you see Democrats in particular, Rauner's opponent, Democratic nominee J.B. Pritzker, trying to foist this as a political issue. So we may well see a showdown on the Illinois House floor on that this coming week. Or I would expect a lot of that reason to do what they can to make life difficult for Rauner heading into the election, but also, of course, in this era of, Me Too and women empowerment, the ERA is seeing a resurgence. Again, legal questions with that one. Even if Illinois were to take action, you need action by at least one other state. And further, is it so far past the deadline that this is merely symbolic? For some people, that symbolism would be enough.
A lot to watch in the coming days. Amanda Vinicky from WTTW Channel 11, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you so much, and fingers crossed, good luck to everyone during this end of session, and a happy Memorial Day.